Best week of camp I ever had. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I came back in one piece. I came back with everything intact. Rolled my ankle, but it's already healed in Jesus' name. And man, I had more help this week than I ever had. It was just the kids we were with, the youth pastor we were with, was just lighting my fire. Listening to him speak, the talks, the sermons, and just the fellowship. And then watching these guys. Amen. To see God just touch them in a very profound way. Look, all it took for Paul was one encounter. And that's all it takes for you. And that's what I pray for you guys. I pray that you wouldn't listen to my words. You wouldn't see a man, but you would encounter the one who loves you deeply and wants to pull you in. Amen? We love him because he first. We didn't originate this. He did. Amen? So I'm going to let them have the stage here for the next 20 minutes. 20 minutes. All right? So don't think I'm rude if I cut it short. I'm a man under authority. All right? So I'm going to start off with Brooklyn here. Let her share.
Hello. My name is Brooklyn, and I'm in the youth group. I guess the only thing that has changed for me this year is that it really, because I'm going to be a senior this year, it's really changed my direction of where, like, I'm going to go to college and things like that. So I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get my minister's license by the time I'm 20, so that means if I start this year, then I'll have it within 2 years. So I'm excited for that, but I'm very proud of every single one of these kids. I've gotten to watch our children's church grow into who they are now, and that they're in our youth group now, and I'm just very thankful for this family that I have, and I'm just very proud of them, and especially the close relationships that we've made this year. So, yeah. Anyways, that's all I have to say. Okay.
I'm going to stay sitting down because it's, like, less scary. Okay. My name's Emma. Wow, that's loud. My name's Emma, and thank you. If you had met me 2 years ago, I would not have been up here talking to y'all. Like, no money could have bribed me to sit up here and speak in front of this crowd. $20 would not cover it, okay? I'd be in my seat. But, yeah, this camp and the last few years have been a big journey for me in Christ and just in general, breaking out of my shell and, you know, maturing in Christ. And last year, he kind of broke off some of the stuff. And this year, at camp, I went in with a lot of expectations of what I wanted him to do with me, but, you know, he doesn't do expectations. He's not a God with an itinerary, you know? He doesn't really follow what you always think he will. So I went in, you know, with lots of questions I wanted to get answered. And then he answered questions I didn't even think of asking instead. So yeah, I could go on and talk for a long time, but we have a time constraint. So just a lot of what he worked in me is identity and, you know, changing how I see God and how I see myself. From, as Sarah spoke this over me during one of the days, she said, "You are not a sinner saved by grace, you are a child of God." And until basically this week, my relationship with God has been similar to the guy with the lightning bolt sitting on top ready to zap you when you mess up. But I had a lot of self-condemnation. And I was very, very hard on myself. But after this camp, you know, I realized that, you know, his sacrifice was not done. Like, he did not die on the cross to condemn you. He died because he loved you. And so to, like, truly understand his sacrifice, you have to accept it, all of it. Not just that he died for your sins, but that he died because he loved you. And, you know, it's just been a journey. I know. I'm going to stop talking now so everyone else has a chance.
I just want to say thank you to everyone that did this for us. Like, y'all are amazing. Thank you so much. And these are my friends now. They're not just peers. Like, I've gotten really close with them, especially you. You're good. So just thank y'all for everything. It was a great experience that I won't forget.
Sam got filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time.
Okay, well, I don't know where to begin. Okay, so this previous school year, seventh grade, it had been really hard for me. I was very insecure about how smart I was. Some people had bullied me, like every day telling me I wasn't smart. And I went to camp, and I was just in God's presence, and he just told me that's a straight lie from the devil, and that it doesn't matter what they say, they don't know you. And it's been really hard for me to worship. For some reason, I just felt like I wasn't worthy, I wasn't good enough. For a long time, I thought that. I just thought I couldn't worship. And at camp, I got freed. I just felt so free, and I'm so happy now. And I'm able to read my Bible with joy. I don't really like reading, but when I read the Bible, it fills me with joy. So, and just thank the Lord, and I thank everyone. I've made a lot of close relationships with all my friends here now. So, yeah.
Okay, so my name's Shelby, and I went to youth camp with these wonderful kids sitting beside me, and I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for my wonderful grandparents. They showed me to this church, and I was lost before, but now I just feel like I can do anything in front of y'all. Like I can jump around, I can raise my hand without being scared, and I'm just so thankful for my parents to be with me, and this youth group is my best friends now. And I went to this youth camp, and it changed my life. I'm a whole new different person, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name's Zipporah Williams, and I don't even know where to begin, but before I went to camp, I was always scared to, like, raise my hands in church. Like, I didn't know what nobody would think about me. But when I went to this camp, like everybody said, I just felt free, you know, just feel free, you know, like, thank you, Jesus. This camp, it really got me closer to him, and it showed me what all he did for me and stuff. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Elantis, and before in this camp, if you knew me 2 years ago, I didn't want nobody to know me. I just thought it wasn't worth anyone's time, and it just made me feel really upset sometimes, and I just thought, you know, it's the best way, because I'm wasting people's time, and it was worthless. So I had this feeling. It's been here ever since third grade, and it's not a good feeling. It's just been torn me down. It's been telling me you are worthless. You are lucky to have like a few friends. It just made me feel like I should be alone, that no matter what I do when it comes to singing or worshiping the Lord, I couldn't do anything right. And it just made me feel like, you know what? I had this feeling for a long time, and I feel like the Lord forgot about me. I felt like he doesn't love me. I thought there were certain people, like in the world did. So when my parents told me I was going to be in this camp, I was like, no. Because camp means people, and people means talking. But when I went out to that camp, I had fun. And the 3 days that the preacher preached, the first day was about issues. The issues I had between one of my family members that I thought who doesn't really love me but loved two things more than me. The second day was love. And I cried on that day because I felt so angry at myself, thinking I should have known. I should have thought, you know what? God loves me. I should have known that God never forsaken me. I thought he did, but he didn't. He still loves me. And then the third day, I finally understand what was going on through my life when it comes to singing. You see, the preacher was talking about the bread, that he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it. Same what he did with my life. He took me. He blessed me with the voice. But he's breaking me. By what I'm saying, he's breaking me. By every time I audition for a solo part, I never get it. It's always always a popular kid. And it's been like that since, well, they're still doing it right now. But he's breaking me. But I know one day he'll give me something that is much more better than some silly old solo. So all I have to say is thank you, Mom and Dad, for putting me in this camp. Thank you, you guys, for accepting the person that I am. And thank you, Pastor Ray, for everything. Thank you all. And bless you, God. And God bless you.
Best week of camp I ever had, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I came back in one piece. I came back with everything intact. Rolled my ankle, but it's already healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I had more help this week than I ever had. It was just the kids we were with, the youth pastor we were with was just lighting my fire. Listening to him speak, the talks, the sermons, and just the fellowship, and then watching these guys. Amen. To see God just touch them in a very profound way. Look, all it took for Paul was one encounter. And that's all it takes for you. And that's what I pray for you guys. I pray that you wouldn't listen to my words. You wouldn't see a man, but you would encounter the one who loves you deeply and wants to pull you in. Amen. We love him because he first. We didn't originate this. He did. Amen. So I'm going to let them have the stage here for the next 20 minutes. 20 minutes. All right? So don't think I'm rude if I cut it short. I'm a man under authority. All right? So I'm going to start off with Brooklyn here. Let her share.
Hello. My name is Brooklyn, and I'm in the youth group. I guess the only thing that has changed for me this year is that it really... Because I'm going to be a senior this year, it's really changed my direction of where, like, I'm going to go to college and things like that. So I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get my minister's license by the time I'm 20. So that means if I start this year, then I'll have it within 2 years. So I'm excited for that. But I'm very proud of every single one of these kids I've gotten to watch our children's church grow into who they are now, and that they're in our youth group now. And I'm just very thankful for this family that I have, and I'm just very proud of them, and especially the close relationships that we've made this year. So, yeah. Anyways, that's all I have to say. Okay.
I'm going to stay sitting down because it's, like, less scary. Okay. My name's Emma. Wow, that's loud. My name's Emma, and thank you.
If you had met me 2 years ago, I would not have been up here talking to y'all. Like, no money could have bribed me to sit up here and speak in front of this crowd. $20 would not cover it, okay? I'd be in my seat. But, yeah, this camp and the last few years have been a big journey for me in Christ and just in general, breaking out of my shell and, you know, maturing in Christ. And last year, he kind of broke off some of the stuff. And this year, at camp, I went in with a lot of expectations of what I wanted him to do with me. But, you know, he doesn't do expectations. He's not a God with an itinerary, you know. He doesn't really follow what you always think he will. So I went in, you know, with lots of questions I wanted to get answered. And then he answered questions I didn't even think of asking instead. So I could go on and talk for a long time, but we have a time constraint. So just a lot of what he worked in me is identity and, you know, changing how I see God and how I see myself. From as Sarah spoke this over me during one of the days, she said, "You are not a sinner saved by grace. You are a child of God." And until basically this week, my relationship with God has been similar to the guy with the lightning bolt sitting on top ready to zap you when you mess up. But I had a lot of self-condemnation, and I was very, very hard on myself. But after this camp, you know, I realized that, you know, his sacrifice was not done. Like, he did not die on the cross to condemn you. He died because he loved you. And so to, like, truly understand his sacrifice, you have to accept it, all of it. Not just that he died for your sins, but that he died because he loved you. And, you know, it's just been a journey. I know. I'm going to stop talking now so everyone else has a chance.
I just want to say thank you to everyone that did this for us. Like, y'all are amazing. Thank you so much. And these are my friends now. They're not just peers. Like, I've gotten really close with them, especially you. You're good. Yeah. So just thank y'all for everything. It was a great experience that I won't forget.
Sam got filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Okay, well, I don't know where to begin. Okay, so this previous school year, 7th grade, it had been really hard for me. I was very insecure about how smart I was. Some people had bullied me, like every day, telling me I wasn't smart. And I went to camp, and I was just in God's presence, and he just told me that's a straight lie from the devil and that it doesn't matter what they say, they don't know you. And it's been really hard for me to worship. For some reason, I just felt like I wasn't worthy, I wasn't good enough. For a long time, I thought that. I just thought I couldn't worship. And at camp, I got freed. I just felt so free, and I'm so happy now. And I'm able to read my Bible with joy. I don't really like reading, but when I read the Bible, it fills me with joy. So, and just thank the Lord, and I thank everyone. I've made a lot of close relationships with all my friends here now. So, yeah.
Okay, so my name's Shelby, and I went to youth camp with these wonderful kids sitting beside me. And I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for my wonderful grandparents. They showed me to this church, and I was lost before, but now I just feel like I can do anything in front of y'all. Like I can jump around, I can raise my hand without being scared, and I'm just so thankful for my parents to be with me, and this youth group is my best friends now. And I went to this youth camp, and it changed my life. I'm a whole new different person, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name's Zipporah Williams, and I don't even know where to begin, but before I went to camp, I was always scared to, like, raise my hands in church. Like, I didn't know what nobody would think about me. But when I went to this camp, like everybody said, I just felt free, you know, just feel free, you know, like, thank you, Jesus. This camp, it really got me closer to him, and it showed me what all he did for me and stuff, and yeah.
Hi, I'm Elantis, and before in this camp, if you knew me 2 years ago, I didn't want nobody to know me. I just thought it wasn't worth anyone's time, and it just made me feel really upset sometimes, and I just thought, you know, it's the best way, because I'm wasting people's time, and it was worthless. So I had this feeling. It's been here ever since third grade, and it's not a good feeling. It's just been tore me down. It's been telling me you are worthless. You are lucky to have like a few friends. It just made me feel like I should be alone, that no matter what I do when it comes to singing or worshiping the Lord, I couldn't do anything right. And it just made me feel like, you know what? I had this feeling for a long time, and I felt like the Lord forgot about me. I felt like he doesn't love me. I thought there were certain people, like in the world did. So when my parents told me I was going to be in this camp, I was like, no. Because camp means people, and people means talking. But when I went out to that camp, I had fun. And the 3 days that the preacher preached, the first day was about issues. The issues I had between one of my family members that I thought who doesn't really love me but loved two things more than me. The second day was love. And I cried on that day because I felt so angry at myself, thinking I should have known. I should have thought, you know what? God loves me. God has never forsaken me. I thought he did, but he didn't. He still loves me. And then the third day, I finally understand what was going on through my life when it comes to singing. You see, the preacher was talking about the bread, that he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave it. Same what he did with my life. He took me. He blessed me with the voice. But he's breaking me. By what I'm saying, he's breaking me. By every time I audition for a solo part, I never get it. It's always always a popular kid. And it's been like that since, well, they're still doing it right now. But he's breaking me. But I know one day he'll give me something that is much more better than some silly old solo. So all I have to say is thank you, Mom and Dad, for putting me in this camp. Thank you, you guys, for accepting the person that I am. And thank you, Pastor Ray, for everything. Thank you all. And bless you guys. And God bless you.
I really don't really know how I could even make anything follow that, but just to reiterate what they said, I saw their lives change. I saw them go in as one person and come out as another. Parents are attesting to that. And the power of God is real. And it's here too. And it's just a special place when the teens are able to go and get something just for them. And I'm so proud of them. I'm really proud of them. And we had a very large group this year. We had 6 kids graduate from Kids Church to youth, and the youth is just experiencing an explosion. And let it be affecting us all, you know. So.
All right. I was a little scared about going to camp. Didn't know what to expect, but there's some things I wish I had done different while I was there, but even from that, I've learned some things. God has delivered me and my wife from some things that I've been struggling with for the majority of my life, and it's now gone, and he's amazing, and it was awesome watching these kids up there worship. Like, I don't, you know, we come here and I'm not saying anything bad, but like, we get stuck in ways sometimes, and it's not good. And I seen them breaking out of that stuff, and it made me want to do it. So, But anyway, yeah, something else I was wanting to say. Oh, Travis, your 2 daughters are precious. And, I mean, Zipporah, I got to talk to her, and I was so glad that I got to talk to her, because sometimes I wonder if these kids even want to talk to me, because I'm older, and it's hard to explain what I'm trying to say. But anyway, my life's changed, their lives are changed, and just bless the Lord, it was all good.
Off to a better start this week than I was last week. They didn't tell me in Sunday school my pants were a little ripped. And then when I come to move the podium down for Robbie, they ripped more, like a lot more. Like, your face would have been just the shade of red as my face would have been. And I got my stretchy pants on today to make sure that we all right, you know? And I've got friends, but my friends were too embarrassed to tell me. And I'd like, just say something, signal something. Do something, please. Because I felt it in the middle, and Shelby was sitting next to me. I was like, oh, please, just keep looking forward, Shelby. Keep looking forward. And then and I thought, what do I do here? I'm not getting up doing that blessing today. I will rebel. So I did what every man of good respect would do. I put my iPad in front and went out the door and went home, came back with a different pair of pants. And then I was nervous, thinking you guys must have thought that I must have done something in my pants that I didn't do. So, I mean, I want to be intimate with you that you could see through me and I'm an open book, but there's boundaries and limits. Yeah, I'm not going to cry over these kids. It's neat to watch new leaders go, because they get that deer in the headlight look the first night. This is my world. I teach middle school. It's controlled chaos. It's loud. It's obnoxious. And people are so used to their little homes with it quiet and all that stuff. And they get there and their eyes just, they're like, "Are you?" And I'm just like, "You all right? You all right?" Because the volume just keeps getting turned up. But by week seeing, God does what God does. And God is faithful. And you know what? We need to celebrate what's happened. Yes. We need to steward what has happened. Yeah, go ahead. Let's praise Him. Praise You, Jesus. We praise You, God. Because there's always the alternative, right? Listen, there's adults, and maybe some of you, that still deal with the same issues. I'm around them. Still trying to find self-worth, still trying to find your identity, still trying to find or believe that God really loves you. Look, some people don't believe that God even wants to be in their presence. But he wouldn't have let Jesus come and shed his blood if he didn't like you. We get so trapped up thinking about our sin, we get heavy laden with guilt, condemnation, and shame. Amen? Well, I'm about ready to do something that might cause friction in my home, but I'm going to ask my son to come up here real quick. Come here, Landon. And I want him to share what happened to him. I'm kind of forcing this on him. But that's all right, buddy. Grab the microphone, please.
Well, I went to camp, and it was very tiring. Well, I think it was Thursday morning. God told me that we were talking about, like, occupations and what our job's going to be. And God told me I was going to be an engineer to help design churches, houses, schools for people across the nations who don't have it. Also, I was refilled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what else to say, so.
The reason why I want him to come, because today we're talking, we're continuing the family series, and we're talking about parenting. And that guy right there makes me and Mandy look good. I'm just going to tell you right now. Okay, it has not been a hard thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so I better not get too personal because I don't want to be a sloppy mess. I'm so proud of him. But I wanted him to share because many times we'll celebrate the child that goes into ministry, but we're all ministers. The painter needs to be celebrated. The cook needs to be celebrated. We're all the embodiment of Christ, the body of Jesus, where not one part is more honorable than the other. As a matter of fact, the lesser parts are more honorable. And I've said this before, I've never seen my heart in person, but I know that I need it. There's people that work behind the scenes that are never recognized, and they think less of themselves, and they never should. That's comparison. That's a trap. Amen? Amen. All right. So if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3:1 So I'm going to come to you today with a humble heart saying I don't have it all together. And I've just parented one child. I've worked with teens, but it's different than parenting. You live with them. And our son has made life easy on us since day one. We've had very few times that we've had to discipline. And you don't say that's not fair. You know, the God has just been gracious to us. So I'm going to share with you a few points today of raising young kids. And then Brother Denny's going to come up here and talk about teenagers, where I need to start taking some notes because I could see there's a little bit of a shift going on between 12 and 13. You know what I'm saying? You know, all of a sudden now I'm not as smart as I used to be. I'm not as cool as I used to be, even though I think, hey, you know what I mean? But, and then Sister Sue's going to wrap this up talking about you're still raising kids to the day that you die. They're always going to be your baby. Always going to be your baby, right? So let's pray before we open up this word. Father, we just thank you, God. God, we celebrate what you're doing in this house, Lord. We know that while we were gone, Lord, a powerful message was spoken on Monday night. So we all were together, Lord. The God, what you did of the services last weekend, what you did at camp, and what you're going to do here today. We celebrate the one today. We celebrate the one who looks beyond who we are and calls us to who we are called to be. So God, we just release ourselves to you. We posture our hearts to say yes and amen to everything you have this morning. And God, we won't look to the left or to the right. We will lock our eyes on the fiery eyes and the love of Jesus today. Father, help us, Lord God, as we raise up that next generation. Raise up our own, Lord God. I've seen so many broken homes, so many broken mamas, so many broken daddies about their kids, Lord. God, we just raise the standard in this house today. God, we call ourselves to do the right thing. Lord, we just love you and we praise you, God. And may the man not be heard, but God, your spirit. We thank you, Lord. And we just say, do it again today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I got to be quick. My first point today that I have for you is let your life speak loudly. Let your life speak loudly. I'm convinced of this, that if I pursue Jesus, I don't have to worry about him. You understand what I'm saying? That my life has to be passionately in love with Jesus. Not just talking about it, but passionately in love with Jesus. So go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And Paul speaking to his spiritual son. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra, where persecutions I endured. And out of all of them, all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That from your what? Childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We're talking about young kids this morning, the most impressionable time of their life. What are they seeing through their eye gate with you? What are they seeing with their eye gate of you? So here's the deal. This is the fear of the Lord in me, that I can only reproduce who I am. I'll say it again. I can only reproduce who I am. So if I am lukewarm, I reproduce lukewarm. If I'm casual, I'm going to reproduce casual. I'm not going to reproduce the real thing. Do you understand what I mean? Because our kids are like our many disciples, right? Huh? Our kids are like our many. See, here's what I learned growing up. And if you ever said this, don't be under condemnation. But I grew up learning this: do as I say, not as I do. And that's a lie. I honor my parents today. I love them. Don't get it twisted. I love my parents, but they didn't see clear in certain areas of life. They saw their flesh, and they lived from their flesh. If I did the things that I saw, I would be in great bondage today. I knew I'd get quiet. If I did the things that I saw, I would be in great bondage today. Because he's watching me. He's watching me if I'm going to walk the walk. I'm not going to talk about Jesus here and then on Monday be yelling at his mama. I've seen it. I observed it. I observed the big fights. But on Sunday, we put on that mask and we praise Jesus. Just to live a hypocritical life, yeah? Religion? I'm not saying we're perfect. Don't get that idea. But even in my imperfections, how do I handle myself? And do I sit him down saying, this is not the way of our Lord? This is not the way he would have responded. This is how your daddy responded. If you're full of pride, you're going to reproduce a kid that's full of pride. You don't think that I see you. I've seen these competitive dads coaching throughout the years, and they instill and they instill and they steal. And then I see a kid that's so driven by winning that if he doesn't win or she doesn't win, they just lose it. See, we don't think our actions will have any recourse, and we're wrong. And Paul was telling Timothy, you've seen me. You've seen me. You followed my doctrine. You followed my manner of life. You've seen how I lived. You've seen how when I was in intense times, how I conducted myself. He's watching me when somebody's yelling at me. Do I give myself an excuse to get into the flesh? Or do I look like Jesus in the moment? He's watching me how I treat his mama. He's watching me how I'm at church and how I'm at home. Because I can't just be about this. Because I could tell him all the right things to do and do as I say, not as I do. But the rare times that me and Manny haven't seen eye to eye, I've seen the hurt in his eyes. He's an only child, and sometimes we got a small house. It's hard to get things straight without him overhearing or saying. Sometimes we get real fleshly and we want to deal with it. Now we don't care who's around. Again, don't be under condemnation. But I'm saying, let your lives speak the loudest. Let your lives speak the loudest. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said this, is imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do you guys understand something? The whole theme of camp this week was yes, saying yes to the Lord. If he goes to the nations, he's away from his mommy and his daddy if he says yes. This is what I told all the campers. He is not mine. He is the Lord's. I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed to be his dad. We'll always have a bond forever, but when we stand before God, Dad's not going to be there. Amen? Not only do we have to walk the walk, what else do we need to do? Talk to talk. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. If I'm taking scriptures from them, I'm sorry, but there's nothing wrong with hearing it again and again and again. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Now, as he sees me handle myself, I've got to have a reason for the hope that's in me. Yeah? Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. All the time we're teaching them. Dad, why did you act that way? Why did you pick up that stranger the other day and take him to work? Why did you give all the money that we had to that person who was in need? Let me tell you, son. We have a God that is faithful. We have a God that has been true to me and your mom and dad. Come on, now my actions are speaking louder than my words, but now my words have a powerful, profound impact. It's not about religion to him. It's about this is who we are as a family. This is the culture of our home. I can only reproduce who I am. Got to teach them. Break the bread of life before them. Train up a child. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, that when they are older they shall not depart. So we hope during those teenage years, right, they don't get arrested or they get badly hurt, right? That there's seeds of the living word inside of them. That maybe the cares of this life may come and choke for a minute. But God, through his grace, starts pruning their heart. Amen? Amen. All right, last thing. I'm sure as a young kids, you would assume that I would say something about disciplining your children, right? They're young, impressionable. They're watching, they're learning, they're growing. They're into everything. Sometimes you want to, you know? Sometimes you're like, did I have you? Sometimes, whatever your thoughts are, whatever you do, be slow to speak. Slow to become angry and quick to listen. Now, you don't always listen to what they have to say because, you know, they might be trying to get their way out. But what am I trying to say? Discipline through love. Don't whip your kid because they're too loud during your football game. Because you're annoyed by them. The Bible teaches fathers, don't exasperate, don't embitter your children. Don't just discipline because you're mad and you want to detox and you want to relax. Just get mad because, listen, because you're worried and in fear and you're projecting it upon them. The Lord disciplined those who he loves, but he loves you to discipline you. So your discipline must be through love. And if you're in the moment and your flesh is like a bear inside of you, you need to step back for a minute and get yourself postured before God and say, God, this is a pivotal moment. This is a pivotal moment. Listen, guys, they're only going to do what they know to do. They're young. They're young. They're young, and they may have seen you do it the other day. They just might be mimicking what you did last week. That's why it infuriates you so bad. You ever been around people that have the same bad qualities that you have and it bothers you deep? Because you see yourself. You discipline from a place of love. And with that, I didn't know that was on. I'm going to ask Brother Denny to come forward. Thank you.
Does this one work better? Yeah. That's why I keep my hair so short. You don't see all the gray that my teenagers have given me. So, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. This really, when you first read it, it doesn't sound like we're talking about parenting, but it'll make sense, trust me. Verse 12 of Hebrews 5 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now let me read you verse 14 in the NIV, make a little more sense. Verse 14 in the NIV says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Now, when kids become teenagers, like Pastor Ray said, there's a shift in their life. They start having a lot of questions, start dealing with a lot of situations that they have no experience dealing with. But as Scripture tells us, we become trained to make decisions by making decisions. The more we do it, the better we get at it. So as a parent of a teenager, that's our job, is to have them make those decisions, to steer them in the right way. But ultimately, they have to make the decision themselves. And they have to handle the consequences of those decisions, whether they be good consequences or bad consequences. I remember as a teenager, I always hated that word, consequences. It always sounded like such an adult word to use. But ultimately, it's the results. Whatever decision you make as an adult, you have to deal with the results of it. Teenagers are the same way. They need to deal with the results of their decisions so that they can get better at making decisions. The thing I love about God is the fact that there's really no training on how to parent a teenager. You can't really take a class on it. I mean, you can, but it's not going to cover a whole lot. But the one thing I love about God is if you take a step back and look at God's relationship with mankind, it's obviously the picture of a parent and a child. God deals with us as His children. So if you're confused, if you don't know how to deal with a situation with your kid, especially your teenager, because they get crazy when they become teenagers, let's be honest, they go nuts. But that's when you spend time with God and you study His Word and you can really get to see how He deals with mankind, especially with how He deals with Christian believers. And it's easy to pull the nuggets out of that and to see how we as parents should deal with our kids. That doesn't mean that when your kid turns 13 and they become a teenager that they're on their own from then on out, right? We still have to provide a roof over their head. We still provide for them for food and those things. But we start to train them to making their own decisions. You know, when kids are little, everything they own, you paid for, right? You bought them all their clothes, you bought them all their food, you bought them all their toys and stuff. As they become teenager, you teach them, hey, this stuff costs money. You know, you have to work to earn money. You can buy stuff you want. You start teaching them to understand those kinds of things. So it's important that we recognize that shift and that we move in that direction. We don't ever stop being a parent. You know, Pastor Ray hit on it. We talked about it in Sunday school. Peg Allen said that you never retire from being a Christian. You never retire from being a parent either. You know, your kids may be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, but you never retire from being a parent. The hardest thing I had to deal with was losing my dad, even though I was already in my 20s when my dad passed away. But all of a sudden, I didn't have somebody I could call when the lawnmower wouldn't start. I didn't have somebody I could call when the sink was leaking in the bathroom. You know, I didn't have that anymore when I got so used to it. So even as we grow into adults, we still rely on our parents a lot, just as teenagers do. And it's we're always going to be a parent. But as Ann Landers says, our job as parents is to raise our children to be independent, productive members of society. That is our job. If they become independent, productive members of society, then we have succeeded as a parent. Now, as a Christian parent, obviously, we're in Christ as well on top of that. But as Pastor Ray said, the best way to teach them that is to let them see us do it. Let them see us pray. Let them see us worship. Let them see us study His Word. Let them see us live the Christian life so that they can see that that's the way it should be. So, real quickly as I close, I just want to make a comment to the teenagers we have. Something that I have learned to live by, a saying that I don't know where I read it. I'm sure I read it somewhere. I know I'm not smart enough to come up with it, but I don't know where I read it from. But remember this. A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. So when your parents give you advice, it's good to think about that advice. Contemplate on it. Ultimately, the decision is yours a lot of times, but it's better the more, the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety, right? There's wisdom in people that have already been through those situations. So if you have a teenager, or if you have a kid that will eventually be a teenager, I just encourage you to focus on your relationship with Christ and let them live out their life and let them learn to make their decisions and to become the person that God has called them to be. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Sister Sue. Let her bring it all home.
You're going to almost hear three identical messages today, because I thought Brother Ray was going to say all of mine. But I'm going to talk about grandchildren. And how many of us as grandparents are not thrilled to death when our grandchildren come to our house? Now, when our grandchildren, because we've been everywhere from Chicago all the way to the Gulf Coast in pastoring, our grandchildren are everywhere. We send our children away to college and they meet somebody from Timbuktu and they're everywhere. And that's the way it is. But as grandparents, we are the root of the family. As grandparents, we are the root of the family. And I'm going to, Brother Ray said, Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That does not mean he's going to be perfect or she's going to be perfect, but they are never, ever, ever going to get away from the teaching if you train them up in the way they should go. They are going to remember that. I can remember, you know, when my mother would teach me, and if I did something, now I never did, you know, anything bad or anything like that, but I would have this conviction because I had been taught differently. And that's the way we are. We are the root. And that's what I'm going to, just for a few minutes, talk about. How many of you have ever been in a grape orchard? Okay, the root is what goes down into the ground. Of course, we know that. And if that root does not get the material, let's say, that it needs, it's not going to produce the branches and the grapes that it should. And we get our supplement from the Lord, who would be in the earth, and it comes up into the root. And in Proverbs 17 and 6, it says, children's children, that's grandchildren, children's children are the crown of the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. That's what Proverbs 17 and 6 says. Children's children. That's grandchildren. And so it thrills me to death. I don't get to see my grandchildren very often. We've got one in New Jersey, a pastor, and one in Missouri, a pastor. One in North Africa, a missionary. One in New Orleans, in the music department, and one in Springfield, Missouri, in the music department. And so we don't get to see our grandchildren very often, but it's such a thrill when they do get to come and see us. And in Acts 2:39, now this is for us. The promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are afar off. In other words, down the line. For all whom the Lord our God shall call. And so we are I'm going to use the grapevine. Grandparents, we are the vine. We are the one. And let me tell you something. We are setting an example, not only for our children, but for our grandchildren also. And they are going to watch us. They are going to see. I get calls from my grandchildren. We are Poppy and Mimi. That's Cajun French for Grandma and Grandpa. And from South Louisiana. And so, Grandma, I've got this situation. Would you please pray for me? Because they know Grandma and they know Grandpa. And so we are the root. Let's look at the grape orchard. We, as grandparents, are the root that goes down into the ground. Parents are the branches. Parents are the branches. These are the grapes. They're going to be what people are going to gather. But we are the one that's going to provide the nutrient for them. We are the grandparent, as the grandparent and parent, are going to provide the nutrients that they need in order to live the life that they need to live. And they are being watched. That does not mean they're going to be perfect. We're not perfect. And we're not going to be perfect until we stand before the Lord. And the Bible says that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's when we're going to be perfect. But we're not going to be perfect until we stand before the Lord. They're going to make some mistakes along the way. But they're not going to get away from that teaching that Grandpa and Grandma and Mom and Dad gave them. They're going to remember it. And it's going to be there. And so that's why you and I have to make sure, as the root, as the vine goes down into the ground, that we are living the life that will set the example for our grandchildren to follow. Okay? Let's look at it this way. You've seen the grapevine. It grows up out of the ground. The bigger vine grows up out of the ground. We're going to consider that as the grandparents. The biggest vine grows up out of the ground. And then there's these little branches that go out from the vine. That's the parents. And then there is the grapes. That's the children and our grandchildren. And we are going to produce what we, the new, from the nutrient that we get from the root down into the ground, which would be Christ. We're going to produce that kind of an example, whatever that example might be. Should it be the Lord or should it be not serving the Lord? Somebody's watching us. Somebody is watching us. And so we want that trunk or that branch to be healthy. We want our grandchildren to see our lives and to see the example that we're setting before them. And the only way that we can do that is that if we allow the nutrients from the source of that vine to come into our life and begin to spread out, not only to our family, but to our children, but to our grandchildren. And so that's what I'd love to see my grandchildren more often, but I don't. Not when they're scattered all over. But there's one thing that I do know. They are serving the Lord, and that's what is the most important. That is what. And they have followed the example of a grandparent and parent that have taught them, that has taught them the way of the Lord. And it's not that we just... Teaching our children and grandchildren is not just showing up on Sunday morning. Oh, well, I went to church today, and I listened to the preacher. I sang in this worship, and I praised the Lord. And then we live like we hadn't even been to church on Sunday. And there's a lot of people doing that. This is what concerns me. And young people, let me advise you. And parents, let me advise you. And grandparents, let me advise you. Don't just hear the word on Sunday, but let this word dwell in your heart every day of the week. And that way you will set the example, not only for your children, but for your grandchildren also. And so with this, I want to close this out. we are going to stand before the Lord, and we are going to give an account for the way that we have lived our life. And our children must see Christ in our life. They must see Christ in our life, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. And so we want that to show up in our life. And there is one thing that I want you to take away from this service today, and that is this. Remember it every day of the week. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you. And it's probably your grandchildren. And we let them get by with more than what we let our children get by with. I mean, we do that. But we set the example for them. So let me leave you with this today. Somebody is watching you. Let that example show forth Christ and let them follow it.
Anyway, I'm going to ask Stephanie to come just play something soft. Sister Sue, if you want to come up. Denny, you want to come up? Maybe a couple elders as well. Who's made mistakes parenting? Am I alone here? Come on now. I mean, I've done some knuckleheaded stuff. Come on, we're all in this together, right? If it wasn't for the village sometimes, I don't know if I get anything accomplished, yeah? Listen, we all have made mistakes, and I know you love your kids. It's not about that. And I know we make mistakes. We get away from the Lord sometimes, and things happen. But you know the beauty of God is that today we can make a decision. Come on now, we can make a decision today, because the guy I am today wasn't the guy I was when he was first born. You understand what I'm saying? It's lukewarm. But God in His restoration power, grow me up a little bit. Let me ask you this. And this is kind of an unfair question because I know it's going to hit just some of you. How many of you learned the love of God when that baby came out? How many of you learned just to be able to tap into the love of God when you first saw your firstborn and your second and your third? Or that grandbaby, right? You know how you felt? Huh? See, I think some people in here identify with some of these teenagers today. You may not think God likes you. You may think that God just doesn't want to be around you because He sees your stuff. And that's a terrible place to be. Come on now, that's a terrible place to live. I mean, the veil was torn. It means you can go forward. You can go in. So today, just everybody stand up for me, please. We didn't have the deacons come forward earlier, so we just have a few up here. If you need individual prayer, ministry, just close your eyes with me. If you don't know this Lord we speak of, and you want to know Him, and you want to follow Him, and you want to make yourself come alive this morning, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I can't pray you in, but I can pray for you. How many of here, since it was about parenting today, can realize that you've made some mistakes? Come on, you've blown it. Hey, my hand is up, guys. I don't claim to have all this together, and I still got years to go, Lord willing. But you're going to commit your life right here, right now, to say, hey, I'm going to walk the walk, talk the talk. Huh? I'm going to teach my kids. I'm going to follow Jesus as they follow me. I'm going to look into His eyes as they're looking at me. Father, would you just give them that grace this morning? Would you just give them that grace? Would you give them that humility of heart to say, teach me, Father? Teach me how to... Look, it's not about becoming a better dad. It's about looking like Him. Come on now. It's not about becoming a better husband, father. It's not about being a better mother, better wife. It's about looking like Him. Because when you look like Him, everything will just work itself out. They will see the fire in your life and want. They may stray away from time to time. Maybe some of you have kids that are in that stage that they have not returned to the way they've been taught. God, we speak to every prodigal right now. We call them home. We call every seed that has been planted in their heart to come alive. God, that You would water it, that Your people would water it, and God, that You would give the increase. God, for every child that might be in the pit of life, Lord God, we pray right now. Right now, come on, believe with me. Believe with me, because there's some hurting hearts in here. They want their kids to come home. Believe with me right now that they will come to their senses, just like the prodigal did. They will see and know that in the Father's house, there is a robe of righteousness, a ring to wear, and shoes to be put on. Come on, believe with these. Come on, as a body, we got to suffer with one another. I can't imagine the horror of Landon going astray because I don't claim perfection over him, guys. He still got to make his own decisions. But I couldn't imagine him straying away from what the Lord has spoken over him. Now I'm going to open it up here because I don't want you to go away here. If you want personal ministry, we got anointed people at this altar that could pray for you. If not, I want you to raise your hand today. Just let me pray for you. If sometimes you struggle with the fact that God loves you, let's just nip this in the bud today. That you let your stuff and your sin believe another lie that God doesn't love you anymore. And that you're not worth it. Let me tell you how worth it you are. He shed His blood for you. That's a pretty high price, if you ask me. That's a pretty high ransom to pay. So, Father, would You just love on everybody right now? Father, that they would receive. And you come forward if you want. If not, I'm just offering personal ministry today if you want it with these guys. If nobody comes, we're going to release here in just a minute. But, Father, would You love them? Yeah, Lord, yeah. Just let Your Spirit rest. Just abide, God. Just abide. Let Your presence abide right now. Father, I pray for a new sense of worth, Lord God. It's not necessarily a self-worth that gets us to an arrogant, cocky place, God, but it's a place, God, where we know that we are accepted and You're beloved. That we are accepted by You, God, and that You like us. You want to be with us. God, I understand, Lord, and we do. We proclaim, God, that sin is missing the mark and it's not Your will. And God, if there's anything in us that pulls at our heart, that keeps us away from You, God, we ask You to uproot every lie, God, that is in our hearts. God, even as a parent, Lord, if there's a lie that we're living out in front of our kids, Lord, that God, that right now You would uproot that lie, God, that You would pull down every stronghold, God. God, because I know I'm around people, they love their kids, Lord. And they may have modeled, Lord God, the wrong way of doing it, God, but we declare today, God, that today is the day of salvation and wholeness, God. That today is a new day, that 6 months down the road, their kids will be asking, Daddy, what has changed in you? Mommy, what has changed in you? Grandma, Grandpa, what has changed in you? Because you don't look the same that you were 3 months ago. And God, that hope will rise up in their heart, and that reason for that hope will be at their lips. Let me tell you, son, let me tell you, daughter, let me tell you, my grandkids, Jesus is faithful. And though I might not have been walking with Him all these years, He has changed me from this point on. And He is going to accelerate the time in my life and the growth that you guys would see in my life, Him and His life expressed through me. Father, just father us to this place. Lord, I pray for everybody in here that doesn't have children, Lord. God, right now, that they would commit, Lord God, to live for you. That it would be a seamless transition into parenthood. Now, Father, I pray for those, Lord God, that may have an orphan spirit, Lord God. That they don't feel like they have a father. They may be like me, they lost their father young in life. They may have never known their dad. And it's hard for them, God, to relate to you, God, because the dad has never been around. God, I just pray, Lord God, that your presence and power and love just penetrate to the depths, God. That you would answer every question right now in their heart that they may have, Lord. That they would know that they are not rejected. Or maybe, God, that they've seen some things, Lord, and they see it in them and they don't want it anymore, God. Father, just break that in Jesus' name. God, we just bless you. God, you are worthy. And if you aren't who you say you are, God, we're done. But you are who you say you are. You're the great I am. So, God, we just thank you, Lord. As Sister Sue said today, let's just not live it out here in these four walls, God. But when we go home, we proclaim your truth, Lord. When we lie down tonight, we can proclaim your truth. And when our eyes become wide open in the morning, God, the praise and honor to you, God, will be on our lips. Again, if you need any personal ministry or prayer, we'll stay around for you. I just want to offer that to you. We're here for you, guys. We love you. We want to walk with you. We want to go the extra mile with you. If something's troubling you, if something's gripped you, if something's grabbed you, if you're living out a lie inside of you and you're seeing behaviors that you didn't see before, we want to be able to uncover that so that you can be free and free indeed. So we're going to dismiss here in just a second. With a blessing. But just know this, you are loved. Not only by us, but by the Father above. Amen? Amen. All right.